Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from Entrepreneur on Fire, and you are listening to Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Get ready to crush it with your marketing and ignite.
Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 15.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabien Raphael.
Hello, everybody, again, and welcome to Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, I'm honored to present you my guest, Mitch Wilson. Mitch is the president of Sports Chat Place, a website that he started with $10. Now, it is his dream job as he owns three companies that are all profitable, have 22 people working with him, and where outside the box thinking and taking action are truly rewarded. His blog has become a business and a real company and is rated by Google in the top half of 1% of all websites. Mitch, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
All right. So let's start by getting to know you a little bit better by asking you, if you have to summarize your entrepreneurial journey with one word, what would it be and why?
I would have to say it all starts with passion. You know, you start with the subject that you're passionate about and you kind of see where that takes you. I think when you're passionate about a subject that you could be authentic. The audience, the people out there, the public, there's so many people out on the internet. There's so many people out in other forms of media that the public is pretty good at figuring out who's real and who isn't. And you need to really follow your passion. I never started Sports Chat Place as a business. I started as a blog because I wanted to talk about college football and a sport that I really, really love. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, It's like any job. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. And boy, it sure helps to be involved with something that you're passionate about on those bad days. That's for sure.
Exactly. So talking about those bad days, I guess you had to grow through some challenges. And since Marketing to Crushing Competitors focuses on the journey of entrepreneurs that did not take no as an answer, I have to ask you, Mitch, are there times that you did not take no as an answer?
I never take no for an answer, and I think every week I get told no for something. You don't know if you don't ask, and you know, you just have to remember no one's going to bite your head off. They're just going to say no, and in a lot of cases they're going to say no more than once. And you know, you just have to keep going, because if you are doing the work and you're working hard and you're producing something that people are interested in, people are going to start saying yes, and it's going to be you that's going to be the one saying no, because just there's so many yeah. demands on your time.
That's so true. So you mentioned something about, you know, keep moving forward and keep working hard, even though you had like a couple of no's as an answer. But sometimes, do you think that being a hard worker or a hustler could be a disadvantage?
I think in some cases it can be, because I think that a lot of us have, when we start a business or we start a blog or we start a podcast, whenever we start something, we have an idea as to what that's going to be. And sometimes we really think these are great ideas, but if the public doesn't respond to it, no matter how great of an idea we think it is, it's not that good of an idea, at least if you want to try and relate to the public. So I think sometimes I'll take something that I know isn't working, and instead of just scrapping it early, sometimes I'll go a little bit too far with it, and I'll try and make it work when it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And that really, it can work against you in a lot of different ways, because, you know, our greatest resource as entrepreneurs, as bloggers, as, you know, podcasters, whatever we are, you know, even if you're, you know, the mailman or a doctor, lawyer, it doesn't really matter. Our time is our greatest asset. And when you're chasing something that's not working, you're wasting time. And in a lot of cases, you could be wasting a lot of money as well.
Mm-hmm. So Okay, so let's say by going through these phases, let's say you're pursuing something that is not worth it, or you're going the wrong direction. Did you have a moment in your business where you simply wanted to give it all up?
I think I have those moments all the time, and I continue to have them, you know, where I just want to give up. But, you know, I see the alternative, and that's working at a 9-to-5 job. And that really isn't something that I've ever been successful at. I think a lot of people, I know other entrepreneurs that I've spoke to, and, you know, I don't mix with the community as much as I would like to, but I know a lot of them can say this as well. I think a lot of people run into when they're applying for a job, or they have people applying for a job at their company, they'll say something like, well, I've never had a job I wasn't fired from. I never had a job I was fired from. Mm-hmm. I've never been fired from a job. Well, I'm probably the opposite. I've never had a job that I wasn't fired from. So it doesn't mean that I'm not intelligent enough to do the job. It's just I have my own ideas and my own opinions, and I'm not afraid to share those.
A lot of entrepreneurs go through, as we say, a lot of challenges. And one of them is actually dealing with time management. So would you tell us or share with us, how do you manage your time, and what's your secret for optimizing your productivity?
I'm not a great time manager. I don't use any time management tools, and certainly don't use them as much as I should. I try and come up with a schedule of the stuff that absolutely has to be done. Mm-hmm. And I share that with my team, and we try and tackle it together. And everyone that's on my team, they have a firm understanding of exactly what we're going to do, what we do, why we do it, how we do it. And while my way isn't the only way, it's the way that we do it. And I know that that doesn't sound so great, but it works for us. If other people have ideas, they can certainly present them, but we're not going to go off track to make those things happen, because we only have so much time, and we cover a lot of ground at my websites. We don't do a post a week or a podcast a week, or, you know, a post a day or something like that. At Sports Chat Place, we do about 1,600 articles a month or more. At my other website, we do about 1,100 posts a month or more. So it's a lot of material, and you have to manage that time that you have. Sometimes we do have pauses, we do have breaks, we look at other things. I have lists and lists of stuff that we're going to do it. But really what we do is we just try and stay, we go with what works, you know, what's worked for us in the past.
Wow. So who would you say has influenced you the most in becoming who you are today, especially to go through your challenges?
This is really a tough question, but I would have to say that the person who's influenced me the most is my wife, Carrie. Mm-hmm. She believed in me in times when I didn't believe in myself. And, you know, when at a certain point, for any entrepreneur or, you know, professional blogger, whatever the case may be, you have to make that leap from going to the work, from the working world, to going out on your own. And it's a scary moment, because you've lost that security blanket. You don't know what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. My wife said, this is going to be no problem for you. You move mountains, this is nothing. And to get that kind of support was incredible. And I'll tell you what, you know, she wasn't like, well, you know, we really need to, you know, watch, you know, what we're doing, or you know, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. She said, I believe in you. We'll sell the house if we have to. And I'll tell you, just to have someone that's going to lift your confidence up instead of worrying about, you know, every single thing that could possibly go wrong, because I know that was going through her head. It helps. I'm not going to say she wasn't thinking that. And I'm sure if you asked her, she would say she was absolutely thinking that, but she never let it show to me. And that was really, really, really helpful.
So that gave you wings into pursuing all the rest of your objectives and dreams.
Absolutely. It kind of gave me that thing that say, you know what? Do what you got to do. I mean, she didn't say, you know, we're going to keep going forever. She said, you have 8 months.
She gave you a deadline.
Exactly.
which actually can be very good, because you knew that you had in this amount of time, well, you had to do or accomplish what you wanted to accomplish.
Yeah, I think also that, you know, I know what the alternative is. And I still know what the alternative is today. And that's, you know, a 9-to-5 job. And it's a big motivator for me. I say that all the time to people I do business with, that I don't necessarily like the idea, or if it's something really expensive or something that doesn't economically make sense, I'll say to them, I live with that fear that, I'll have to be sending out resumes. And I think that this project might send me in that direction.
That's good. So, well, after, you know, going through all those challenges and sharing with us like some great tips, Mitch, already, well, let's dive in into the strategy part. So did you already get to some point where your business was stagnant or stable for a while? And if you did, what was your strategy to get out of it?
This happens all the time. No matter how big things get, you still reach those plateaus where things seem to not be happening. I seem to always be offered the big contracts. A lot of my revenue is based on traffic. So my revenue is constantly increasing because I'm always able to up the deals. But what I notice is that sometimes my traffic will level off. And what I will do is I will either talk to people or I will analyze myself exactly why that's happening and why I think it's happening and areas that I can improve. I haven't done a site redesign in the last 2 years, and a lot has changed in my business and what goes on the internet in the last 2 years. So I just, you know, this year we're doing a big redesign. It's taken a lot longer and it's been a lot more expensive than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm really excited about the way things are developing, and I hired a team that, and, you know, I'm fortunate at this point that my business has grown to the point that I, you know, my budget is up there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I hired a team who are, you know, that deal with some of the biggest and best companies in the world. And I'm really excited about it. And, you know, I do things like that. I try and reach out to people that are better at this than I am. You know, I try not to become an expert in everything. I talk about sports, and that's what my audience wants to see. And that's how we make money as a business.
So when did you realize, Mitch, that marketing was extremely important for your business growth?
I think I realized that pretty much not directly out of the gate, but I realized it probably shortly thereafter, because I know that in my first month of blogging, I had 3 total visitors to my website. Mm-hmm. So I had to, the choice was either to give up or to figure out how to get people to the site. And, I even to this day, I stick with people who are just better at things than I am. Mm-hmm. And this is how people told me I could get traffic to my website. And, to this day, I still market in different ways. I'm not an internet marketer, as they say, but I think everybody markets themselves or their products or whatever. I think everybody in some way is a marketer.
So what are a couple of your favorite marketing strategies, you know, to help you crush your competitors?
Well, I think that for us, it's just, we just try and be authentic, and we just try and, keep it real and to provide the most of anything. We don't do a lot of direct marketing, but what we try and do is to be in the search engines, to be the answer to that question. Yeah. People talk about how important Twitter is and, you know, what other social media and, you know, Pinterest, whatever. I have accounts for all those things, but to me, the number one website, and you know, the stats will bear this out, the number one website is still always going to be, well, it is right now, it's Google.
Yeah.
And you want to be in Google, and you want to be the, people don't go to Google just for no reason at all. They're always looking for the answer to a question. Mm-hmm. And you want to be the answer to as many questions as you possibly can. And that's the best way to get out there.
Yeah, be the answer to someone's question.
Right, and the more questions you can be the answer to, the more chances are that people will find you.
Mm. So during your entrepreneurial journey, is there a business book that influenced you? Like, which one has influenced you the most?
I kind of thought that you might ask me a question like this, and I thought really long and hard about this, and the reality of it is I haven't read a book in 6 years. I know it's pathetic, but I haven't read a book in at least 6 years. So it's hard to say that there's a certain book that has influenced me as far as on the entrepreneurial journey. Because when I started the website and I started the blog, I never thought it was going to be a business. And then since I've started it, I haven't even had time to read a book.
And as you said, well, you surround yourself with people, you know, like to help you actually make this business grow.
Exactly. I find people that are the answers, and I let them handle what they're good at, and I handle what I'm good at. And that's just in every part of the business. You know, it's from your lawyers to your accountants to everything. I mean, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not going to pretend that I am one. I'm not an accountant. I'm not going to pretend that I am one. I once, when I first started making money, I bought QuickBooks. And I installed it. I tried using it for probably about 3 or 4 minutes. And that's when I realized this isn't a very good idea for me. So I hired somebody else to do it for me. And I think that's the way I've always handled everything from tech work, you know, even from day one. I started my site in WordPress. Was the first blogging platform that I used. I bought WordPress for Dummies. I followed along with what they were saying. I entered something into the back end of the site, and it knocked the site off the internet for 3 days. I realized that, you know, maybe tech isn't something that's one of my strong suits.
But you know what, Mitch? It's a quality, because a lot of entrepreneurs actually struggle with this because they have a problem with delegating, and you don't seem to have a problem with that.
Well, I think it comes back to that time management that we talked about a little earlier. And, you have to figure out what's the best use of your time. Mm-hmm. I know that, when I'm working on tech problems or I'm working on things like that, I'm not delivering to my audience. So I'm not making any money, mm-hmm. and I'm not making any money for my team. And I know a lot of people struggle with this because they think that, you know, it's costing them money to hire people to do these certain things. Mm-hmm. But when you're first starting out, you don't need as much help as you think you need. I think it's better to streamline that, taper off exactly what you want done at each time, and to have somebody else do it, because it ends up that's time that you could be using to actually grow your business, mm-hmm. something that's going to bring in tangible results, while installing a WordPress plugin and making sure it works and testing it and doing all that stuff. It's more than likely that's not going to make you any money.
No, and you're right about that. All right, so let's switch into the inspiration part, where you get to share superb tips with the All-Star team. So let's go with, what is, from your point of view, the key to financial success, Mitch?
I think when you stick with your passion, it will find you. I think if you're just in it for the money, your audience will know that you probably won't be as successful. Almost everyone that I know that is successful is doing something that they're passionate about. So it comes to them. When I first started, when I was about 3 months in, I did my first online interview. I was already getting about 3,000 visitors a day. Mm-hmm. And I did my first interview, and it was with Yaro Starek. A little plug there for Yaro. He's still a good friend of mine. And, he said, how are you going to monetize your blog? What are your plans for making money? And I said, I don't know. I said, I just want to talk about college football. And his answer was, you're going to make a lot of money.
it goes back to what you said earlier in this interview, being authentic, right?
Absolutely. I think it's so important. I think there's so many people out there that do things. A lot of people think that some of the niches that they're in, the subjects that they're in, are just way too crowded or the competition is too tough. But none of those people or places or companies have you or your opinion. So if you can sell your passion to your audience, they're going to buy into it. It's just a matter of time. It's, you don't have the resources to have them find you right off the bat. I'm in sports, and I don't have a TV network or several TV networks like ESPN does. Mm-hmm. Yet, my audience seems to find me in that crowded space. And people say, I'm up against, these big guys or whatever. Think about the budget that ESPN has, mm-hmm. compared to what I have. They're owned by Disney. Mm-hmm. Think about Fox Sports and Fox News and CBS Sports and mm-hmm. CBS News. I'm in that same space with those guys. I'm in the same space, yet, you know, they have a lot bigger cost than I do. Mm. They have a lot bigger overhead. I'm a lot more mobile than they are. I can get into spots that they can't get in a lot quicker than they, because everything needs to go through their corporate policy. Mm. Well, I can jump around. Yeah. And I don't need to make $1 billion a year. If I did, well, I wouldn't complain about it. But at the same time, at the same time, you know, I don't need to.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, well, what is the best spiritual advice you've ever received?
I think this one is another tough one, but I think I believe that there's a God, and I know I'm not it. And I think, you know, that's pretty much that, you know, that's just my own personal belief. I know not everybody believes that there is or there isn't, but I just think that you got to believe that there is a higher power, and they're going to take care of everything. Not everything is so urgent or as such a disaster as you think it is. Mm-hmm. You kind of let things take care of themselves. They fall into place, and it all just seems to work out for me.
Mm. How do you gain control of your emotions?
This is a very, very tough one for me, because I am really passionate about what I do, and I do care. I think sometimes I give the impression to some of the people that I work with, like as far as like tech people, legal people, tax people, things of that nature, that I think because I'm so laid back about my approach with them, I think that they sometimes will interpret that, especially someone that is just new to working with me, mm-hmm. that they interpret that as that I don't care. But that's not the case. What it is, I try and take a hands-off approach, because I figure if I'm on the phone with them, if I'm in their office, they're not doing the work that I need them to do to help me grow my business and to be successful. Mm-hmm. I got to give them the freedom to do what they need to do. And me being on the phone and bugging them, where is it, where is it, where is it, isn't the way that I do it. So sometimes those things, it backfires on me, and they'll interpret it that, well, you know, he hasn't called to check in, so he must not really care that much. So that upsets me. I tell you, it's really, really hard. It's a fine line. And I'll tell you what, I think more so than gaining control of my emotions, I think I can admit when I'm wrong. And, I can tell that to the other person. And I think this is an area that I probably will fight for. I'll continue to fight. it's just tough.
Okay. And what is a good habit that helps you physically?
I'm a runner, and I probably run 6 miles plus 5 days or more every wow. week. Yeah, I just bought a place in Maui, and surfing, paddleboarding, things of that nature. I like doing all that stuff, and I'm going to be moving there full time over the next year.
That's great. That sounds great.
It's a dream come true. It is it's an amazing journey that it's been. You know, I was a clerk at an investment firm. Mm-hmm. I started, you know, a little over 6 years ago with a $10 investment. I never in my wildest dreams thought that this was going to be the life I was going to have.
Wow. So it's your constant effort that is paying off right now.
Yeah, I'm just really grateful. It's just, I think that I know that not everything that I've done has worked out as I had hoped, but I think if you do enough things, enough of them do. The way I try and explain it to people is that, say you have one way of monetizing. Mm-hmm. If you have a bad month, you have a bad month. But if you have 15 ways of monetizing, if they all do okay, then you had a good month. Yeah. If you know, two of them do exceptionally well, then you had a really good month. If three or four of them have a good month, then you could have a month that's like a year. Mm-hmm. But if six or seven of them hit, you know, 50% of them really have big months, it could be a life-changing month. And I've been fortunate enough that I've had a few of those, and it's just been an amazing thing. I'm just part of the reason I told you when you first asked me to do the interview that I don't do a lot of these interviews, but at the same time, I do feel like I owe something to the blogging community, to the online community, the entrepreneurial community, because it's given me a life beyond my wildest dreams.
Mm. That's great, Mitch. And that's very inspiring for someone who's starting or someone is who is on the way to get where you are today. So
thank you. I just think a lot of people give up before the miracle happens. Mm-hmm. Because I think that some of these people that teach online courses, things of that nature, they've had a lot of success. And people see that success and they think that it comes easy or quickly. It's not necessarily the case. I've had two sites that are, blowouts, just fantastic successes. Mm-hmm. Neither of them did it happen easily, and neither of them are, I see things where people say, well, you only have to work a couple hours a week. Mm-hmm. I always hear that, but I've never got to experience that. That's, I'll continue to aspire to it, but I don't believe that it's true.
Hmm. All right. So before to wrap it up here, Mitch, is there something else you want to share with the audience, like your words of wisdom or a success quote?
Well, I think one of the things that I say all the time is that I'm really grateful that I didn't get everything I always wanted, because I would have cut myself way short. I wouldn't have the life that I have now if I would have just gotten everything that I wanted or that I thought I wanted at the time. Mm. And I just think, in general, you need to work hard, and it will yield results. And stick with the winners. I think that's an important thing too. Is that there's a reason why these people are successful.
So to end up this interview, Mitch, where can people connect with you?
Well, I'm on Twitter. My handle is Sports Chat Place. It's not the best place, though, if you want to actually contact me. I do have all the social media channels, but really the best place to contact me, mitch@sportschatplace.com. It's my email. Another place that you could connect with me is at some of these conventions or things like that, whatever you want to call them. I try and go to about two or three of those each and every year. So that's always a good place. I try and connect with as many people as I possibly can at those things. So if you find out that I'm going to one of them, don't be afraid to reach out to me and grab a cup of coffee, or if you see me at one of the parties or something, definitely come by and say hello.
All right, Mitch. Thank you so much for such a great interview. It was a pleasure to have you on the show.
I enjoyed it. Like I said, I don't do a ton of interviews, but I'm certainly glad I did this one. So thanks for having me.
All right. It was our pleasure.
Just because this episode of the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast is over doesn't mean your journey to marketing success is done. Go to marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com/tools right now and download our free guide to the 5 tools you absolutely must have to crush it in your marketing. Download that right away, and we'll see you next time on the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast.